All right, Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. For about 38 weeks now, I believe, we have been in the book of Hebrews on Wednesday nights and just dissecting it verse by verse. And we've been in chapter 11 for close to 2 months. And we've been talking about, obviously, in chapter 11, living faith, Bible faith. This is the greatest chapter in the Word of God on the subject of faith. I've given you a definition of faith throughout this study, and I'll give it to you again tonight in case you don't have that or would like to write it down. But we've said that Bible faith, living faith, real faith is trusting what God says and acting upon that regardless of circumstances and regardless of consequences. Really, Bible faith, living faith, has to do with every dimension of your life. It has to do with your past, it has to do with your present, but it also deals with our future, and has to do with our future, and all of us have a future. Out there tomorrow, we have a future. And the things that are really a concern to us, when you think about it, are those things in the future. What kind of future am I going to have? What's going to take place tomorrow and beyond? I heard about a little boy who turning 5 years old, and his daddy said, "What do you want for your birthday?" He said, "I want a puppy. I want a dog." And so his daddy said, "Okay." He said, "We'll get you a dog." And so they drove down to the pet shop so the little boy could pick out his new puppy. And he looked at all the little puppies, and there was one little puppy that just he was constantly wagging his tail, just the happiest dog. And so the boys, he examines all the puppies, trying to figure out which puppy he wants. And Daddy said, "Well, son, we need to make a decision. We've got to go. What dog do you want?" And the little boy said, "Daddy, I want that one right there." He said, "I want that one that's got the happy ending." And the Bible tells how you can have a happy ending, believe it or not. How you can have a happy future. And of course, as we look to the future, there is a complicating factor to that. There's a stressful factor about the future, and it is the reality of death. That is an appointment that all of us must keep. Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. The Bible says that death is an appointment outside of the rapture taking place that I'm going to keep, that you're going to keep, that all men are going to keep, whether they be lost or saved. And yet the Bible also teaches that not only is it possible for us to live our life by faith, but it's also possible to die by faith as well. Matter of fact, if you'll look in verse 13, and this isn't our text, but the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13, that these all died in faith. And so we can live by faith, but we can also die in faith. Adrian Rogers said that when it comes time to die, that God's gift to His children is dying grace, and our gift to God in that moment is dying faith. Dying faith, so that our dying can become a tremendous exercise of faith and really a tremendous time of testimony to the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be possible. It is possible for the believer, literally, to turn death from gloom into glory and leave this world on faith, in faith. Now, there are three illustrations that are given to us in verses 20, verse 21, and verse 22. They are the son, the grandson, and the great-grandson of the father of the faith, Abraham. Their names are Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And when you read the lives of these three men, you'll find that these three men were very, very, very different. They had the same genetic heritage, and yet very, very few things do they have in common. But I'll tell you, there's one thing that these three men, at least one thing that they have in common, and it's the way that they died. They died in faith. Let's talk about dying faith tonight. Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 20 through 22. The Bible says, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, that would be his grandsons, and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. You ought to highlight that and just write out to the side the Exodus, and gave commandment concerning his bones. Stop our reading there tonight. I want to deal, first of all, with the example of Isaac. Isaac died with what I'm going to call, for the sake of alliteration tonight, longing faith. What I really want to call it is forward-looking faith. And you see that in verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Forward-looking, longing faith. He died. He was looking forward. He was longing for the promises of God. The book of Genesis, of course, gives us the account and the story of Isaac. Isaac lived longer than the other two that we're going to study, and yet there's less in the Bible about Isaac than there is about the other two. In fact, all of the indications are, when you read about the life of Isaac, is that Isaac's just sort of an ordinary person, just a common, ordinary, everyday kind of a man. There's really not much outstanding about the life of Isaac in the way that you and I would consider outstanding things. Isaac's kind of wedged between the middle of his father and his son. He's the ordinary son of an extraordinary father, Abraham, and he's the ordinary father of an extraordinary son, Jacob. Really, about the only thing that you find remarkable about the life of Isaac is that Isaac is a well digger. Study back in the book of Genesis, and you'll find that just about everywhere that Isaac goes, he digs wells. And I think that says a lot for him, digging wells of refreshment and blessing so that weary pilgrims could come along and draw strength and blessing. And so that speaks a lot in and of itself about Isaac, that he would be a blessing to others. We know a few things about his family. We know that his family had sort of a turbulent kind of life. Isaac and Rebekah, if you will call, his wife, didn't have any children, and they wanted children. So they go to God in prayer, and I said that the well digging was the most outstanding. Probably this is the most remarkable thing about his life. They didn't have children. They go to God in prayer about that, and God answered that prayer. God gave them a child. God blessed them. In fact, he gave them a double blessing. He gave them twins, boys by the name of Esau and Jacob. And as you read their family life, you really don't find a whole lot of faith in it just by reading the text. When you study their life, their living, you really have to wonder, is the faith really there at all? We know that it was there, but the Bible doesn't display it very much for us. We know that there's division in their family. We know there's turmoil. We know there's partiality. There's favoritism in the family. Rebekah, of course, she very soon would show her favoritism toward Jacob, and Isaac would show his toward Esau. It seems that Esau was, I think, the kind of man that Isaac had always wanted to be. I remember when we found out that we were expecting Maddox, when Lori was pregnant with Maddox, and word of wisdom was given to me, and I think it's appropriate for me to give it to you, to especially parents, and that is this. I encourage you to do your best not to try to live your life through your children. I think that's a big mistake if you do that. You find that Isaac was very materialistic. He seemed to have a leaning toward material things. And it'll be a sad day in your life, and even sadder in your children's life, for you to pass on material things to your children but not pass on spiritual things to your children. Here's Isaac, a very common man, but you'll discover something that in his dying he's not. He's a very confident man. It says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And really, the special thing about Isaac is that he seemed to display more faith in his time of dying than he did any other time. That it's almost like his faith was sort of dormant in his heart. It didn't grow and mature like it probably should have, and yet somehow toward the end of his life, the closing days of his life were, spiritually speaking, the best days of his life. I think that ought to give you and I some something really to consider. I think all of us would be wise to give serious consideration to the fact that we are going to die one of these days. And I don't think we ought to be morbid about it, and I don't think we ought to dwell on it all the time. I'm not saying that. But you ought to give some consideration about how you want to die. What kind of testimony do you want to have when your time comes? Isaac is an illustration of dying faith, of longing faith. He's looking forward to the promises of God for things to come. But let me move on. Notice the second illustration. It's one of my favorite characters to study and read about in all of the Bible. It's Jacob. Jacob's the son of Isaac. He's the grandson of Abraham. And I think Jacob is an illustration, what I'm going to call it, I'm going to steal a word from the text here, leaning faith. Notice in verse 21, it says, "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, his grandsons, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff." And so in verse 21, lets us know that when Jacob's dying, that he took his grandsons, he blessed them. But then there's an interesting statement made that he worshipped leaning on the top of his staff, leaning faith. The Bible tells us about his life and the life that Jacob lived. And if you ever met a rascal in your life, it was old Jacob. Jacob was a con man like you never saw. Jacob was a schemer. That's what the Bible calls him. You read the life of Jacob. Jacob's always looking for an angle. He's always looking for a shortcut. Yet God got a hold of him and God saved him. But even after his conversion, you read about Jacob, he's still pretty rough around the edges. And some folks are like that. And God really had to do a work through old Jacob to get him to become what God saved him to be. Our children, my boys, sing from time to time around our house, around our bedtime devotional, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." Aren't you glad that God's still working on us tonight? That God has not put down his hammer and chisel and that he's not done with us. It's not good grammar, but it's really good theology. Jacob was a schemer. Jacob was a con man. He's always trying to figure out the best angle. And he tried to bargain with God. Matter of fact, you study the life of Jacob, you'll find that he got in a wrestling match with God. Now, can you imagine that, taking on God in a wrestling match? Of course, God had to touch him. God had to break him. And that's what happens to us sometimes along the way. Sometimes God has to break us in order to bless us. And when that took place, God changed his name. He gave him a new name. Now he calls him Israel, Prince of God. And as you read all through the life of Jacob, there are a lot of scenes that maybe the Holy Spirit could have chosen to illustrate and give to you and I to highlight the life of Jacob. But the thing that the Holy Spirit chooses in Hebrews chapter number 11 as an example of his faith is in his dying. It's not in his living. And notice the Bible says that when came time for Jacob to die, that he blessed his grandsons, and he came. If you go back into the text before I move on, Jacob, when it comes down to the later years of his life, he came down to Egypt. All of the years of Jacob, all of his life, Jacob had been a countryman, so to speak. He lived in tents. We know that his son Joseph was the prime minister. He's living in a palace. These two grand boys of Jacob, they're city boys. What in the world could an old man like Jacob, he blesses them, what could he give to two boys who had everything that they could ever want or need? I'll tell you one thing he gave them a testimony. When Jacob died, his family was gathered around. His family watched him as he went into glory. I thought about that as I was preparing this message and this Bible study. Boy, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? It's a wonderful thing to think about that in the closing hours of your life that family would be present. And some of the sweetest moments that have taken place in families are when families are gathered around the beds of loved ones. I recall when my grandmother passed away just a couple years ago, how we were all gathered around her and we were sharing stories about grandmother and singing hymns together and literally praying together as grandmother stepped into glory. Be a sad thing to die alone. I would prefer to have my family around, wouldn't you? Jacob's got his family around. There's Joseph, his son, the prime minister. There are these little grand boys of his. And the Bible says that in that moment that he blessed his grandsons. He left them some treasure. He dies with the name of the Lord on his lips. I'll tell you something, men, women. If you can die sharing the name of the Lord with your family, you have left them a tremendous treasure. But think of what that will mean when you're dead and gone, what that will mean to your family when you come to the hour of death and you die with the name of Jesus Christ on your lips. What a treasure. Are you going to leave them your money? I hope so. That's fine. That's well and good. Make sure you leave them your master too. You say, I'm going to leave them my land, Pastor. Well, fine. Good. Good for them. Happy for them. Make sure you leave them your Lord. Say, I'm going to give them my savings. Good. Make sure you leave your Savior. Your Savior. Dear one, when you get ready to bless your offspring, be sure that there are spiritual blessings before material blessings. You see, there was a real thrill that came because the Bible says that he died. That when he died, he's worshiping, leaning upon the top of his staff. If you'll study the life of Jacob, you'll find that his staff seemed to be really, really special to him, important to him. That's his thing. Men are good at picking up stuff like that. We get attached to things as men, don't we? Every man I know, I guess, wants a pickup truck. Men get... they want a truck, or think about your easy chair, fellas. You know, your recliner. It's 10, 15, 20 years old. It's broke in just right. It's ugly. It's an embarrassment to your wife when friends come over, but you'd probably throw your wife away before you get rid of that easy chair, and we get attached to things. Jacob had his staff. Imagine Jacob looked at his grandsons, and he said, boys, you see this staff? I crossed over Jordan with this staff. Crossed over Jordan. Staff was special. And now he's getting ready to cross over the second Jordan. Spiritual sins. Cross over into the promised land, into heaven. And he died, the Bible says, worshiping, leaning on his staff. Jacob's getting ready to go home to glory. He's got his staff, getting to walk into the promised land across the Jordan River of death. And the Bible says that he worshiped, leaning on his staff. A moment comes and Jacob releases his grip on that staff. And about that time, he smiles in the face of God and he's gone. Friend, your time of death can literally be your final act of worship on this earth. That's how Jesus died. Jesus died worshiping on the cross. The last thing that he said on the cross was, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. What a way to go. Friend, when you get ready to die, make it an act of worship. You've got Isaac. He's an illustration of longing faith, forward-looking faith. You have Jacob. He's leaning on his staff. But then you have Joseph. Joseph is an illustration of liberating, freeing faith. Joseph closed out his life as a happy grandfather. You know the story of Joseph. It's one of the most familiar stories in all of the Bible. Friend, if there was ever anybody who had a right to be pessimistic, if anybody ever had a right to be bitter, it was Joseph. Think about his life. His own brothers sold him into slavery, into Egypt. And when he got down to Egypt, Potiphar's wife lied about him. He wound up in prison. If anybody could have been tempted and ever had a right, and I use that loosely, to abandon their faith, oh, it's Joseph. Maybe you're sitting here tonight or listening online and you're ready to kind of shove it all in. Things aren't going so well for you and you're considering abandoning your faith. Well, Joseph didn't do that. He didn't abandon his faith in spite of bad things that happened to him, the circumstances of life, the difficulties of life, instead of making him bitter, made him better. Go back to your definition of faith. What is faith? It's trusting what God says and acting upon it regardless of circumstances, regardless of consequences. Here's a guy, when you look at his life, you might expect that he's going to grow up to be a bitter old man. I don't want to be one of those. I've seen them, just a bellyacher when they get old. But here's Joseph, and Joseph's happy. He's a happy grandfather. He's prime minister. God has blessed him and blessed his faithfulness. He's a happy grandfather. We'll get to the text in a moment, but grandfathers are something, aren't they? You grandfathers, I'm sure, are fond of that title, having the title grandfather. Joseph had these grandchildren all around him. I can see him now. He's probably handing out money, giving out special treats. He's telling stories. I was very privileged to have two really good grandfathers. One, of course, has passed away. One is still living, and I talk to him on a weekly basis. He's one of my closest friends. Adrian Rogers said again, he said, God invented grandfathers for the only purpose of spoiling grandchildren. It's your way of getting even with your children, and you know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I have children, and my parents seem to make me feel this way. Maddox and Ava can't do anything wrong. My mother-in-law's in town right now, and she's not here tonight. The baby's under the weather. I hadn't looked. I don't think she's here tonight. And listen, there are things that I would, if I would have, things I did growing up and would have done that my parents would have killed me for. And now I hear statements like this, well, there's nothing wrong with that. He's just being a kid. You don't be so hard on him. And if I just give a stern talking to my son, Maddox, don't watch out. You know, I get looks like I ought to be ashamed at myself for disciplining my children. Joseph's like that. Joseph's a grandfather. He's a grandfather. And it says when Joseph came to die, notice what it says in verse 22. It says, by faith Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. And notice this, he gave commandment concerning his bones. Now there's a lot here. He came to die, he makes mention of the departing of the children of Israel. He died talking about a national exodus. God had promised that one day he would come down to Egypt. He's going to deliver the children of Israel, that there would be an exodus. And Joseph dies, and he's holding on to the promise that there's going to be that exodus. Joseph did not see it in the flesh, but he saw it in the spirit. He saw it by faith, you may say, that one day God was going to lead the children of Israel out. And not only did he die believing in that national exodus, but he died believing in a personal exodus for himself as well. It says he gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph told them, look, God's going to come down one of these days. It's just a matter of time. He's going to deliver us out of here. You're going to depart. There's going to be an exodus out of here. You're getting out of the land of Egypt. And when you come out, don't leave me here either. Get my bones. Take my bones. When the children of Israel, when God delivers them, well, take my bones with them. I don't want my bones staying here in Egypt. In my imagination, when Joseph died, they probably took his bones and put them in the Israeli slave mausoleum. And when the Israelites would get a little bit weary and impatient, and they'd start wondering whether God was going to be true to his word and keep his promise, maybe they'd go over there and take a look at Joseph's bones, and they'd tell their boys and tell their girls, you see those bones right there? Those are Joseph's bones. And Joseph told us that one day God was going to lead us out of this land of Egypt. And we believe what Joseph said, that one day God's going to rescue us. And boy, when we get out of here, those bones are coming with us. It's wonderful to die with the promises of God on your life. It's wonderful to die holding on to the promises of God. He died making mention of the commandment of Israel, and he gave commandment personally concerning his bones. In a few weeks, we'll observe the Lord's Supper. We have a memorial body when we gather around the table of the Lord. We celebrate the death of Jesus Christ. It's a memorial. The bread and the blood, that's not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a memorial. It points back to, it reminds us what he did. And then it points us to the future of what he's going to do. The Bible says, as oft as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, Jesus said, you show the Lord's death until he comes. And so Joseph told them, when y'all leave, don't leave me here. Take me with you. Take my bones out. By the way, that's exactly what happened. And read about it tonight. Read Exodus chapter 13. It says when they got ready to Exodus out of there, that Moses got the bones of Joseph. Joshua 24, when they got into the promised land, The Bible says they took Joseph's bones and buried them in Shechem. By the way, you can visit that site today. When you get ready to die, you can die in faith, trusting in the promises of God that He's not going to leave your bones in this old world. That we're going to come out of this world one of these days too. That we'll take, listen, this world, they'll take our bones, my bones one day, they'll take yours, they'll deposit us into this dirt. And it won't matter where they put us. It won't matter at all. Because one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come again. And these bones are going to be joined back together. And we're going to have a brand new body. And we'll be caught up together with the Lord to meet the Lord in the air. And we're going home. Joseph said, get my bones out of here. They don't belong in this world. They belong in a better world. And so it is for you and I. We have a hymn in our hymn book that I love, and there's a line that says something like this: Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, how I trust Him. How I trust Him more and more. It says something about Jesus has been with us, He'll be with us to the end. I forget the exact words. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Dying faith. Dying faith. If you're His child one of these days, God will give you dying grace. That dying moment for you can be a final act of real worship. Of real worship. Where you die in faith, believing the Word of God, believing the promises of God, clinging to them. Clinging to Him. It's your gift to Him. Worshiping in your final moments. We'll pick up with Moses, Lord willing, next Wednesday night. Let's stand to our feet and we'll be dismissed.